T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Zach Meisel from The Athletic. Zach, before we get to the Indians, nice work. The story is a letter to the twin boys the 26th man never got to meet. It's hard to read this story and not get choked up. It's a very sad story about Matt Pruszynski, who was the clubhouse manager for the Columbus Clippers and worked in baseball his whole life, and he sadly passed away. How old was he, Zach?
32.
Oh.
Yeah,
and his wife was pregnant with twins. It's just such a sad story. You did a great job really telling the story. Nice work.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And all the credit goes to his wife, Shannon, who was kind enough to open up, share their story. And it's been, you know, it's obviously been unfathomable to think about what they're all going through. But the one tiny little silver lining is it's been cool to see the support they've gotten from people who knew them, who knew Matt, and also they had a GoFundMe started by Sean Armstrong, the former Indians reliever, who started this thing not thinking it would become anything, and next thing they knew, it was like every player who was ever a part of the Indians organization donated, and so that kind of support was pretty cool to see.
You know, I obviously didn't know it. Well, I guess not obviously, but I didn't know him. But by from reading your article and hearing from some other people about it too, it seems like both he and his wife are really great people.
Yeah, and like the prototypical Cleveland sports fan.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy had a Browns RV painted brown and orange with the Cleveland skyline on it. Everyone has that memory of, you know, where you were when the Cavs won the championship. And he called his grandfather, who wanted to see a title before he passed. And so he just kind of embodied everything that the Cleveland sports fan is. And on top of that, he was working in the Indians organization, spent spring training with them. And his dream was to one day move on up from Columbus and work for the Indians full time. So it was obviously, they're great people. I wish Shannon well and the twins, who wear Indians gear all the time already. And it's cool that someone who touched so many lives is so relatable for anyone who reads it, listens to your guys' show, or just likes Cleveland sports.
Yeah, no doubt. Well done, and very sad, but definitely got to read it. On a much, much lighter note, Zach, you know, today the American League announced their first series of results for the All-Star game. And Indians fans have been voting pretty strongly. Although, I got to say, I think fans in general nowadays are much more educated on baseball and generally voting better for the guys who deserve it. And Jose Ramirez obviously deserves to be the third baseman. He leads the vote. But I think Lindor is second at shortstop. I think Brantley's fourth at the outfield. Now, Kipnis is fifth. He doesn't deserve any votes. Encarnacion as well getting some votes. What's your thoughts on the early All-Star voting there?
I think the first thing that caught my attention was they list 15 outfielders, and number 15 is Tyler Naquin.
You know what? I didn't even notice that. Yeah. Wow, that's bizarre.
I think it was last year, Lonnie Chisenhall and Abraham Almonte kept popping up on there,
yeah,
too. You know, it's good to see the world recognizing Jose Ramirez. I think,
yeah,
you know, it was 3 years ago when he couldn't even make it to the All-Star break as the team's starting shortstop, and Francisco Lindor took over in mid-June, and next thing we know, Lindor is an All-Star, and Ramirez had to kind of make his own break there and got help that Michael Brantley was hurt. He played left field, and he started hitting. But in a short time, he has ascended to the top or near the top of, like, household name superstars in the league, and it's pretty crazy when you think about his story. I think you look elsewhere in the ballot. Lindor, obviously, he's going to have a ton of competition at shortstop. There's so many good ones. I mean, Carlos Correa, I think, is fourth in the voting. So
yeah,
that's always going to be tough. but I would be shocked if he wasn't in D.C. in a month anyway, even as a reserve. But it's good to see Indians fans voting, and I like to see an assortment of teams represented, and I think you get that with this. I like the outfield seems to be exactly what it should be, Trout, Judge, and Mookie Betts, who are three of the top talents, three of the top performers in the first half here, and also three people who fans clearly want to see. And Michael Brantley, a deserving fourth. So I didn't have any gripes about it, and the Naquin thing just kind of surprised me.
Zach, I saw that Roberto Perez, his results came back negative, so he's supposed to be back in the lineup, right?
Well, we'll know for sure, I think, today. It seems like every time I say we'll know something, they delay it. Like Brandon Guyer has been in limbo for a couple weeks here, but it's either going to be he goes on the disabled list, and I would think Mejia would just stay up, or he checks out okay, and Mejia goes back down, and they have to bring Adam Plutko. They have to activate him. We should know this pretty soon. But it was weird because he got hit on the hand, and it's a part of the hand, it's basically like the side of your, underneath your pinky. So there's some cushion there, but if it hits the bone, that can be tough, and especially to grip a bat, to grip a ball when you're throwing it. So when he got hit and he stayed in the game, he went to first base, it was purple, and then Miguel Cabrera pointed it out to him. He said, "You might want to look at your hand." And Perez looked down, and it was like starting to turn green. So it sounded a lot worse than I think it was, but they're hopeful he can avoid the disabled list. But again, we should know this afternoon.
Zach, the Indians called up Francisco Mejia yesterday. Wasn't the starting lineup last night. You got Yan Gomes has got one more year after this guaranteed, and then there's team options, which at this point I said they probably wouldn't pick up, but who knows? I guess it depends how he plays. And then Roberto Perez has got two more guaranteed years after this year. They've shown no indication that they want to get Mejia in the mix, even when he's been up at times. He hasn't really played. He wasn't playing all that well this year at AAA. What do you think is the future? Is Mejia more likely to be a trade chip at this point, or will he eventually get a chance?
The thing that, I don't know how much this hurts them, but he hasn't exactly boosted his trade value this year either.
No, that's true.
If he's going to have utmost trade value, he would be hitting 300 with some power, and he'd be catching every day. But instead, he's spent some time in the outfield. The reports have been that he's just been okay out there. He hasn't hit in AAA, and this is his first time at the AAA level, so that happens sometimes. But it's a weird situation. I mean, Yan Gomes has actually played pretty well this season. Roberto Perez has obviously really struggled offensively. So something has to give at some point. But Mejia hasn't really forced the issue yet, and they haven't had an injury until now to give him a major league chance. So they're kind of just sticking with the status quo until I think one of these guys either gets hurt, underperforms, overperforms, something to make them make a decision. Because they also have Eric Haas at AAA who profiled as a major league backup catcher. So if they want to at some point turn this over 100%, they could move Gomes and Perez, and they have two catchers right there in waiting.
Do we think Andrew Miller is going to be 100% here?
That's a good question. He threw yesterday, so he'll have to either throw again, maybe go on a minor league rehab assignment. He's making progress toward a comeback. The issue is that they're still trying to figure out a way to support his knee so that he doesn't feel this again. And they don't know if it's going to be he had a special type of, like, trainers would tape it up when he would pitch, and they're going through whether they need to look at that again, try something different. But in regards to his actual health, I think they're encouraged, and I think that they realize this time they're taking it much slower. There's a much better chance they send him to a rehab assignment to get out the rust for a couple of appearances. So it's tough to say. I think when he comes back this time, he should look much sharper and much healthier than he did last time, because I think everyone thought they were rushing it. He didn't quite look the same, and it showed. He didn't pitch as well as he should.
Zach Meisel of The Athletic with us. Speaking of pitching well, Carlos Carrasco was great yesterday. 11 Ks, three base runners, no runs against a terrible White Sox team. It's his second great start in a row. Been a weird season for Carrasco. It seems like every start, a lot of his starts, he's been great, and he's had like five or six starts where he's been terrible. There's really been no in between. I guess maybe that one game against the Tigers where he gave up three runs in six innings. But he's either been dominant or bad, it seems like, every start.
Yeah, and what's crazy is he's probably been the Indians' fourth best starting pitcher.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's,
right.
I mean, you could look at that and say, well, that bodes well for the rest of the season and for the playoffs. Or you could look at it and say, well, you expect him to be better because he's been a guy who's been a trendy Cy Young pick at the beginning of the season for the last couple of years. He, you know, I think he's slowly realizing that his off-speed stuff is really good. We've seen Trevor Bauer reduce the amount, the frequency with which he throws his fastball because he's got such a good curve. He's got this new slider that's been really good. We've seen Kluber do the same thing. I mean, he throws a lot of off-speed stuff, a lot of sinkers and comeback fastball, stuff like that. So I think Carrasco's slowly starting to realize that, too. He's got a lot of really good pitches. We've seen Mike Clevinger rely on his off-speed stuff a lot more. So I think it's just a matter of getting comfortable with what's working on a particular day and what isn't. But we've seen, I mean, really with all these guys, we've seen they have four starting pitchers who on any night could throw a complete game shutout. And that's pretty rare in this league where home runs are as high as they've been. And teams, you know, hitters don't really wait around to wait for your best pitch. They go up there hacking a lot. So the Indians have found ways for that to play into their advantage. And Carrasco, his last couple starts, has done that especially well.
What's been the difference with Michael Brantley? Is it just him being healthy? Is it, you know, where they, you know, when they put him at the two hole, it seemed like that's when he really started to take off.
Yeah, I mean, imagine hitting between Lindor and Ramirez. That's going to help anybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's health. I mean, this is, we've seen this before, maybe not as much power. He's hitting for a little bit more power than he has in the past, but he seems healthy. I mean, he's not going to steal 30 bases like he might have been able to do in the past, but he looks like the guy who we saw in 2014 and 2015. And if you didn't tell me that he missed most of 2 years, I wouldn't think anything of it because he really looks like the same guy. And it's a testament to him. And I think people, and I'm guilty of it too, I really questioned if he was worth, you know, almost 10% of this year's payroll when you didn't know if he was going to be healthy. He was coming off a major surgery and they were expecting him to miss April when he initially had the surgery, and then he worked hard enough. And I think the thing a lot of people forgot about was because this was ankle surgery, he was still able to hit all off season. So he didn't really fall behind in that regard as he did when he had the shoulder issues. And now we've seen, you know, it looks like that swing of old.
We're talking with Zach Meisel from The Athletic. Zach, let's look at the biggest issue with the Indians, which of course is their bullpen. Obviously, there's a lot of problems here. Even Cody Allen hasn't been as great as he's been in years past. I think some of it's due to overwork, maybe. Andrew Miller's been hurt twice, as we know. The rest of the bullpen stinks. I know Perez and Ramirez, Neil Ramirez, have done a nice job, but you know, I mean, those guys are both ticking time bombs. You never know. It needs to be addressed. I don't think they should wait because I think it's going to, you know, it's affecting other guys. Do you think they're actively shopping right now for what they need in that pen?
Yeah, I think so, just because they're aware. You know, I don't think they're blind to this, even though, I mean, they might have been over the offseason. They clearly thought they had enough in-house to get by, and that hasn't been the case. But we've talked about this, guys. I mean, it's been wearing on the rotation because we've seen Terry Francona rely on the starters to throw 115, 120 pitches. And you can't be doing that so much in May and June and expect these guys to be 100% come September and October. And we've seen Cody Allen. How many times has he gone out there for a four-out save a five-out save? Like, that's not ideal to do right now. So they just need people who can bridge the gap. And Neil Ramirez has seven straight scoreless outings, which, you know, it's not anything to write home about, but it's at least buying them some time. And you know, you have this division where you can beat up on the White Sox and you can use that trial and error strategy for right now. That's not going to work come the part of the schedule when you face the Yankees and the Red Sox and all these other teams that you're contending with, and it's not going to work come October. They know they need at least one, probably two or three relievers before July 31st or August 31st. And it's a matter now of sorting out who can stick. If Neil Ramirez can pitch the eighth inning now, then maybe he can be a sixth inning option for us in October under that spotlight. And so they're just trying to find guys to buy them time. And I think Oliver Perez has done that as well. But it's you know, we still see, like, they're still giving opportunities to McAllister and Otero and Tyler Olson. And so those guys they're going to get a chance to straighten themselves out. It's just, you know, how much of it can you take?
Because yeah.
I think they really need to shy away from overworking the starting pitchers.
I know a guy like, you know, Brad Hand or Raisel Iglesias is going to cost you a lot in terms of a trade, but wouldn't those guys, and this is a lot of guys, but wouldn't those guys make a lot of sense? Because if there's a good chance, you and I have talked about this, that Allen and Miller both walk at the end of the year, mm-hmm. and those guys can be, both guys are closers and have been good, and they're both, you know, controllable.
Yeah, my guess right now would be they acquire someone under control for multiple years, so maybe one of the guys you just talked about, and then also at least one rental, because I think, you know, you still need more insurance this season, because Otero and McAllister didn't even make the postseason roster last year.
Right.
So how can you rely on those guys to be your setup men? So I think things will look a little better when Andrew Miller comes back. Things have looked a little better the last week or so since Oliver Perez and Neil Ramirez have come aboard and pitched pretty well. But then their hope is that on the trade deadline, they're able to make some moves. Maybe they can acquire someone without dealing one of their top prospects and go from there. But it's certainly their Achilles heel, and it's we've seen this drag down. I mean, the Tigers didn't win a World Series when they were good for a decade, and most years it was because of the bullpen.
Yeah. Have you ever, let's wrap it up with this, Zach. Have you ever seen a worse division than this division?
No. And the amazing thing, it's worse than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
I mean, the Twins, I thought they'd be able to beat up on Kansas City and Chicago and Detroit, and it hasn't panned out that way.
Yeah, you look at it. I mean, the Indians have the largest lead of any team in baseball, and yet they have, like, what, the 12th or 13th best record in baseball?
Yeah, and it's the other part of this is, given how the Twins have started, the Indians have a chance to, if they can get hot, they can run away with this thing early,
yes.
maybe force the Twins to sell, and then you don't have to worry about the division the rest of the
at
year,
all.
And you can focus on internal upgrades and how you can match up with the Yankees and the Astros and these other teams.
Zach, good stuff, man. Thanks for joining us.
You got it, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.